Extra, extra. Devastating storm tide. Stralsund Harbour completely flooded.
Show me that. Can I have a paper? How bad is it?
Awful, Mr. Director. There's barely a house left standing on Hiddensee. The wells have filled with seawater. Winter reserves have been destroyed. No one knows yet how many have drowned.
That doesn't sound good. The people on Hiddensee hardly have anything to live off anyway. Here, take this.
Thank you, Mr. Director.
On the 13th of November, 1872, when Director Rudolf Bayer bought his usual morning newspaper on the way to his museum, he did not yet know the magnitude of the disaster that had occurred. The storm that had raged over the preceding days had become a hurricane in the night and churned up the Baltic Sea to such an extent that the entire coastal area from Denmark to Pomerania had flooded. In Neuendorf on Hiddensee, just 4 of around 60 houses survived unscathed. Many residents on the island lost their entire livelihoods overnight. Every cloud, though, has a silver lining, and in this case, the retreating floods revealed shining pieces of gold in the dunes. Just 4 months after the storm surge, the Stralsundische Zeitung reported that a shiny piece of metal was found on Hiddensee, which, on closer investigation, turned out to be gold. And in August 1873, Director Bayer read the following.
More gold found on Hiddensee. Let's see, what does it say here? Many different types of cruciform shape. Aha! A shield-shaped disc weighing 115 grams and with a diameter of 80 millimeters. And a bracelet braided from 3 strands. Wow! New objects are turning up every few months. Tomorrow I shall travel to Hiddensee and see this with my own eyes.
Fresh fish! Buy fresh fish straight off the boat. You won't find a better fish anywhere.
Excuse me, are you Mrs. Strizo, the fisherman's wife?
Well, what does it look like I'm selling here? They ain't chamber pots.
The goldsmith Mr. Petchler sent me to see you. My name is Bayer, and I'm interested in the gold you took to Mr. Petchler after the storm tide. He says you found it.
Yes, I certainly did. It was pure gold. What a blessing after the disaster last year.
And have you found any more?
Yes, I have. And not just me. Linson the sailmaker also found some. He dreamt that he would. On Whitsun, after the floods. Then, at midnight, he set off to the place he dreamt about. He dug out 7 pieces of gold there.
Mrs. Strizo, these gold objects, they're extremely valuable.
I know that. They're pure gold. And the goldsmith pays us cash for them.
I mean they're extremely valuable for historical reasons. We believe that they're very old. Maybe 1,000 years.
1,000 years? And the captain of the Clara Carl keeps driveling on about some wedding jewellery. Says it was stolen from his helmsman when the storm drove the schooner onto the sands.
We're quite sure about its age.
Gold's gold.
I'm the director of the Provincial Museum in Stralsund. We are very interested in your discoveries.
If you want them, you'll have to pay for them. We won't just have them taken away from us. Finders keepers. That's what we told those people from the monastery, too. They told Linson he's not entitled to keep the treasure. Rubbish.
I would like to reach an agreement with you, Mrs. Strizo. If you or anyone else find more pieces of gold here on Hiddensee, is there somewhere we can speak in private?
Well, come down to the fisherman's hut today after lunch. That's where everyone meets after the market. Then you can suggest whatever you want.
Thank you. I shall be glad to. See you later.
Uh-huh.
Director Bayer quickly realized that the finders would begin to embellish their stories. They feared that the Monastery of the Holy Spirit in Stralsund, the legal owner of the island, would make a claim to the gold and jeopardize the funds that were urgently needed after the floods. Bayer came to an agreement with the fishermen. The museum would buy all further discoveries from them at a price of 4 marks for each 10 grams of gold. By summer 1874, he had put together what are now the 16 pieces of surviving Viking jewellery for the museum at a cost of 2,257 marks. At the same time, his efforts prevented the jewellery from being cut up or even melted down.